Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lent this year has been about asking God to help us emerge from the tombs of our lives. The COVID pandemic has pushed us into isolation and separation from others, from community, from practices that we love, and we are asking God to help us emerge from this tomb in healthy and life-giving ways. We don't want to simply jump back into the busy lives that we had before, the lives that were so busy that God was crowded out, squeezed out of our lives. But neither do we want to be so comfortable in the tombs of our lives that we continue to abide there, we continue to remain isolated and separated from the world that God calls us into, a world that God calls us into to love, to bless, and to bring healing to. So in that journey thus far, in this Lenten journey, we've prayed for God to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts, to open our hands, and now tonight, our theme is, Open My Life, Lord. In an attempt to get into this theme, Open My Life, Lord, I recognize that the psalmist, the author of Psalm 16, has a good and even great relationship with God. The Lord is my portion and my cup, says the psalmist. You hold my lot. You hold my future. You hold all of me, all that will happen to me. I keep the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. This is the definition of a good relationship, a great relationship with God, a relationship where the psalmist abides with the Father. Also in Galatians, the Apostle Paul teaches us that our lives' existence before God is not justified by the adherence to the laws, but by God's grace, God's free, undeserved, unearned love poured out freely upon us in Jesus Christ. As a result of that, Paul says that our lives no longer belong to us, but to God. In fact, Paul says it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This is good news, and yet for me, as I study these scriptures, both of these scriptures, it seems rather inaccessible to most of us. How do I come into this great relationship that the psalmist has with God, this sense that God is ever present, is ever blessing, is ever moving? How do I come into this understanding that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me? And these ideas seem to me today, at least today, to be rather inaccessible. And so I searched the scriptures. I searched the scriptures for wisdom and understanding when it comes to this prayer, Open My Life, Lord. And it's in Luke chapter 12 that I found something that, at least for me, and I pray for you too, is accessible for you as you contemplate this prayer in your own life. In chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, Jesus is teaching his followers how to follow him faithfully. In chapter 11, he has criticized those who will not follow him. He has criticized the Pharisees, saying, Woe to you, Pharisees! You tithe, you give 10% of mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, and yet you neglect justice, and you neglect the love of God. Woe to you, woe to you who love the seats of honor in the synagogues who love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. And woe to you lawyers. Woe to you scribes, you lawyers who load people with burdens hard to bear, and you lift not a finger to ease those burdens. These Pharisees and lawyers then plot against Jesus. They plot against Jesus to kill him, to destroy his life. It's then in chapter 12 that Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Do not fear the one who can kill the body and after that can do no more. Rather, fear him who, after killing the body, has the authority to cast into hell. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." Stay with me. I know this is a little hard to follow, but stay with me, because it's then that Jesus tells this parable. Parable of the rich fool. Again, it's a parable that I think will help you and me access this prayer that we're praying. Open my life, Lord. Jesus said, as Jesus was teaching, someone in the crowd said to him, this begins at verse 13 in chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me as judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them this parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. You fool, this very night, your life is being demanded of you. And all these things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The biblical truth that is unearthed through this amazing parable, the biblical truth about your life and mine, the truth is that our lives are on loan to us. Our lives are on loan to us. Now, this seems to be accessible. It is accessible to my thinking, and I pray again that it is accessible to yours. If someone is good enough to loan you their truck or their house or their money, that loan comes with responsibilities. The item has to be returned. It has to be returned with an accounting of how it was used. And in Luke 12, the rich man's barns are too small to hold all the crops, all the grain that his crops have produced. And the only solution that he can muster up is to tear down his perfectly good barns and build new ones, build bigger ones. He didn't think that he might store some of that grain in the empty bellies of people who were hungry, or in the emptiness of those who are starving. And God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." This is banker language. A better way to phrase this would be to say that your loan is being called. The loan of your life, because of your foolishness, your inability to to see beyond yourself, has caused God to call your loan. And now, whose will all of this be? You see, it changes things when we realize that our lives are only on loan to us from God. From God as the lender. It changes how we contemplate using that life. It changes how we invest our life. It changes how we store our life when we come into an understanding that our life is on loan. At this point, I can't help but think about a clip from the movie. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a movie that Renee and I watch every year before Christmas. It's a classic. So please watch this clip from A Wonderful Life.
Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
Hey, lady, you got any money in the bank? You better hurry.
George, let's not stop. Let's go.
Wait a minute there. Uh-oh.
Please, let's not stop, George.
I'll be back a minute, Mary.
Well, hello, everybody. Miss Thompson, how are you?
Harley, what's the matter here? Can't you get in?
What is this, Uncle Billy? A holiday?
George.
Come on in, everybody. That's right. Come on in. God damn it. Now, look, why don't you all sit down? Here, there are a lot of seats over there. Just make yourself at home.
George, can I see you a minute?
Why did you call me?
I just did, but they said you left. This is a pickle, George. This is a pickle.
All right, now what happened? How did it start?
Well, how does a thing like this ever start? All I know is the bank called our loan.
When?
About an hour ago, I handled all our cash.
All of it?
Every cent of it, and still was less than we owed.
Holy mackerel!
And then I got scared, George, and closed the doors.
The whole town's gone crazy.
Yeah, hello? George, it's Potter.
Hello?
George, there is a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true? Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. George, are you all right? Do you need any police?
Police? What for?
Well, mobs get pretty ugly sometimes, you know. George, I am going all out to help in this crisis. I have just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They will close up for a week and then reopen.
Just took over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I am willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Boy, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen.
Now, just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appeared. I have some news for you, folks. I was just talking to old man Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments to the bank. The bank's going to reopen next week.
But, George, I got my money here.
Did he guarantee this place?
Well, no, Charlie, I didn't even ask him. We don't need Potter over here.
And I'll take mine now.
No, but you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Well, your money's in Joe's house. That's right next to yours. And in the Kennedy house, and Mrs. Maitland's house, and 100 others. You're lending them the money to build, and then they're going to pay it back to you as best they can. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
Okay, Tom. All right. Here you are. You sign this. You get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
Tom! Did you get your money?
No.
Well, I did. Old man Potter will pay 50 cents on the dollar for every share you've got.
50 cents on the dollar?
Yes, cash.
Well, what do you say?
No, Tom, you have to stick to your original agreement. Now, give us 60 days on this.
Okay,
thing.
Randall.
Are you going to Potter's?
Better to get half than nothing.
Now, listen to me. I beg of you not to do this thing. If Potter gets a hold of this building and a loan, there'll never be another decent house built in this town. He's already got charge of the bank, he's got the bus line, he got the department stores, and now he's after us. Why? Well, it's very simple, because we're cutting in on his business, that's why. And because he wants to keep you living in his slums and paying the kind of rent he decides. Joe, you had one of those Potter houses, didn't you? Well, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken-down shack? Here, Ed, you know, you remember last year when things weren't going so well and you couldn't make your payments? Well, you didn't lose your house, did you? You think Potter would have let you keep it? Can't you understand what's happening here? Don't you see what's happening? Potter isn't selling, Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicky and he's not, that's why. He's picking up some bargain. Now, we can get through this thing, all right. We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money.
How am I going to live until the bank opens?
I got doctor bills to pay. I need cash.
I can't keep my kids on faith. I've got to have...
How much do you need?
Hey! I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over to the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
No, Tom, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
There you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay. All right, Ed.
Well, I got $300 here, George.
All right, now, Ed, what'll it take until the bank opens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose... $20?
$20. Now you're talking. Thanks, Ed. That's fine. All right. Now, Miss Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money, George.
Now, don't mind about that. How much do you want now?
I can get along with $20, all right.
$20, fine.
And I'll sign the paper.
You don't have to sign anything. I know. You pay when you can. That's okay. All right, Miss Davis?
Could I have $17.50?
That's your heart. Of course you can have it. You got 50 cents? There we go. Seven.
We're going to make it, George.
Six.
It'll never close us up today.
Five. Four. Three. Two, one, bingo! We made it! Close the door, you sis! We made it! Look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left. Well, look, let's have some of that. Let's celebrate.
Open my life, Lord. Open my life, Lord, is our prayer. It is our prayer that God will equip us to live like Jesus lived. To love like Jesus loved, to invest and use our lives for the benefit and the good of others. What about you, Mrs. Davis? Quoting the movie, the clip that we just saw, what about you, Mrs. Davis? Can I have $17.50? When we invest in each other, life is better. When we invest in each other, God is honored. Why? Because God has invested in you and in me. God has invested in us by sending to us His one and only Son, Jesus, who came to live and to love, to heal and to feed, to touch, to bless, and to free us. To free us from the power of sin and death and the devil. To free us from the power of self-addiction where we only think of ourselves. To free us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. God invested in you and in me. God invested in this world that God loves by sending his son Jesus to give his life, to empty himself, to empty his glory that had been stored up, a glory that cannot be contained in any grain bin, in any barn, cannot be contained in any one person, in any one entity in this world, but to empty himself of his glory, to give his life on a cross, to take upon himself our failures and our fears, to take upon himself our shortcomings, our sin, our brokenness, and to fill us with his life. That's what God has done in Jesus. He has emptied himself and he has filled you with his abundant and eternal life. And he asks that you and I share that abundant and eternal life with those around us by blessing and loving them. Forgiveness is only one way to invest in others, but it's an important way. Because forgiveness is about emptying ourselves of our pride and our bitterness and our unwillingness, our stubborn unwillingness to release others for the harm that they have done to us. And as we hold on to that, that unforgiveness really doesn't hurt those who we fail to forgive. It hurts us. It eats us up inside. And so when we release those who have hurt us, when we forgive, we not only release them, but we release ourselves from that pain and that bitterness. And we give it to God. Can I have $17.50? Maybe that should be our motto throughout the Easter season. Can I have just $17.50? Mrs. Davis got it. She understood that as she took a little less, that she was blessing her neighbors. She was blessing her neighbors by opening her life to them, to being part of their pain, to sharing the burden with them. And she understood that together, standing together in love, in sacrifice, and in faithfulness, that it made her community and her world just a little better. Can I have just $17.50?